from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this reading.
We're going to watch in a moment. I've entitled this talk about thanksgiving and gratitude. And we're going to pick up what Paul was teaching, what it means to be a Spirit-filled community. But before we launch into that, one of my favourite films is, or a series of films, is Lord of the Rings. I love the books, but I love the movie as well. And we're going to watch a clip from The Two Towers, and it's right at the end of the movie, where darkness seems to sort of cloud over it, but there's a sort of a moment of hope. Because on one side of the scene, there's a big battle that's gone on, and at the last moment, hope has come through, and they've been rescued, and they're sort of fighting off the enemy. And then there's another part of the film, as it sort of parallels with it, where Frodo, who is carrying the Ring of Power with all its darkness, is trying to work its way back to the hands of men, because it knows the Ring of Power, that if it gets into the hands of men, it can corrupt the world and everything else. And there's a bit of a skirmish that goes on, and Frodo's just about to be captured by the master of the Lord of the Ring, and his friend dies over, and he saves him from getting captured, and they tumble down the stairs, and we reach this moment where Frodo is gripped by darkness and is pinning his friend to the floor, and we'll see and just listen to the conversation. Thanks, Amy.
I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. The shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something. Even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
film. I think at times it can feel like we're surrounded by impending doom, isn't it? You know, when we look at our landscape of our nation and what's around us in the world, you can look at Brexit and think, oh, what a big dark cloud that continues to be. Global warming, you can't deny the fact that things are very different. I don't remember a time in October where it was quite so warm on a continual basis, but maybe that's because I grew up in Liverpool, I don't know. And then there's obviously the balance of the environment, our seas and everything else, and you can feel that sense of gloom surrounding you. And I wonder, how do we respond? How do we respond to the situations we're faced with? And often there can be two different responses in our life, can't there? We can be defiant. We can sit there and maybe you can look at Sam's speech and it's a speech of defiance. You know, we stand in the face of all the gloom and we just say, we're not going to be moved. We can be like Maximus and sit there and say, well, death smiles at me, but I'm going to smile straight back. Or maybe we could be hopeful. You know, you look at Sam's speech and it's surrounded by the sorrow and the pessimism, but he's holding on. He's saying, actually, no, there is a ray of light in amongst all this. There is a sense that actually there is goodness in the world, and that is the hope that can overcome the darkness. That's the thing that we can hold on to. As a Spirit-filled Christian, our life is marked out by, not through defiance, but through a living hope, through a hope that as the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, stirs something up deeply, and so deep that it in fact changes our character, changes the way we behave, changes the way that we influence this world and our thoughts and our own inner world around us. And it's a hope built on certainty, not just maybe if the bus is coming along, but it's built on promises, built on something that is everlasting and eternal. And Paul talks about it in Romans when he sits there and he says in these two quotes in Romans 5 and Romans 15, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into where? Our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And he says later on in the letter, he says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what? With hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So we know that in Paul he had a very distinct understanding that hope and the work of the Spirit go together, that they change our character, that they influence us. That actually what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian, to be a Spirit-filled community this morning, is that hope impresses upon our character. Hope dictates our thoughts and the way that we outwork things. It becomes something that is visible in our lives. Thanks, John. If you can't hear at the back, there's a buzz. Thank you. But how does Paul, when he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with that sense of hope, filled with that sense of power, how does he say it expresses itself? Well, when you go down and you begin to look at what he says actually it expresses itself in the life of the community through songs, through a sense of worship, to spiritual songs and songs that flow from the heart is the first place he goes to. Isn't that interesting? And then he goes on and he says, actually, it expresses deeper still in your character through gratitude, through a sense of thankfulness, doesn't he? He said, listen, don't, you know, always be giving thanks. Always, as a life of a community, express that attitude of being thankful in everything. And then thirdly, although we didn't read it, he talks about that submission in our relationships and how that affects our marriages, our home life as parents and children, and how that also impacts in the workplace and lots of different places in our lives. But I just want to look this morning at two of those visible differences in our character, two of those visible differences in our life that come out. And so we're going to look at thankfulness and gratitude first, and then we're going to look at praise and worship connected with that. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a church movement that and often was defined in the charismatic movement and the spiritual gifts, that you were a Spirit-filled church, essentially, if you spoke in tongues, or if you prophesied, or if you had that openness to the gifts, then you were really a Spirit-filled church. They were one of the things, the characteristics that would define an expressive church moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet what Paul talks about here is nothing of those characteristics that define a Spirit-filled church. He talks about and says, actually, a Spirit-filled church is marked more by godly character than anything else. You know, and I'm for the gifts. You know, I as a church here, we've preached about it. We're encouraging it in our Follow Me courses. You know, I love people to prophesy into healing and hearing from God and love that diversity. But the Bible is always clear that when it comes to spiritual things, being Spirit-filled, being a spiritual church, that godly character counts for more than anything else. Because if you're sort of, you know, prophesying and all the rest of it, but you don't have godly character, there's going to be a problem somewhere along the line. The way that people are going to respond to you, the way that you're going to grow in your own gift, is likely to be oppressive to others. But if you have godly character, if you are permeated with a sense of thankfulness, then what it does is it puts everything in perspective. The way you use your gifts, whether they be spiritual or physical, or what God has given you emotionally, in whatever sense, godly character accounts for far more. But I want to just press this a little bit further. When we talk about thankfulness and having a character that is shaped in godliness in this way, because when we talk about how and why we should be thankful, I came across a very interesting idea from another writer who said, actually, we need to be thankful because ingratitude is the root cause of most of humanity's downfall. And in fact, he goes to Romans 1, and playing with a new device, it always you try to remember, is it left, is it right? There we go. And so in Romans 1, Paul says this, going right to the beginning of chapter 1:18, and he says, the wrath of God is being revealed, that's God's righteous anger, is being revealed from heaven against godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known by God is plain to them, God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Here's the key bit at the end. For although they knew God, so the reason why is God angry, they neither glorified him or gave thanks. God was pouring out his righteous anger because people neither glorified, gave recognition and honor and worth to God, and neither did they give thanks to him. So not giving God the glory, not recognizing actually him and his worth and the power and his greatness, stirs up that sense of holy anger and not giving thanks. And then you might sit there and think, well, hold on. So ingratitude is worse than everything else, than oppression of the poor, than the social injustices and everything else. Isn't that what God hates? Isn't that what stirs up God's anger more than anything else? But what is ingratitude at its root? When you look at its motivations and its outworkings, what is it? Ingratitude is withholding something that doesn't belong to you. Or in other words, essentially, you are refusing to acknowledge your debt. The Scottish writer Thomas Carlyle, he lived in a farm in up in the Styx, far away in Dumfriesshire. I don't know how to pronounce it, but anyway. And he actually entitled it. He said this is one of the loneliest places in Britain, and it was the perfect space for him to go and write his books and gather his thoughts. And each day he would climb the ladder and he would go upstairs and he would do his writings and far away from anyone else. And the only person with him was his devoted wife, Jane. And every day she would come and she would make dinner for him and she would help him out and everything else. And one day she just said to him, She expressed that sense of appreciation, and he just said, can you not just say thank you for perhaps the meal that I've done today? And he turned around to her and said, woman, must you be paid for everything you do? With that, he stamped off, wasn't happy with her request, went up to the attic in his workshop, and years later, his wife passed away. And going through her belongings, Carlyle found her diary. And with marks of water upon each of the different pages as he went through, he read this recurring refrain. Oh, I wish you would say a kind word or give me a compliment now and then about the things I try to do to make you happy. Ingratitude at its root cause influences the way that we hold all the power in order to crush others. It means we hold all the riches in order to make other people poor. It means we withhold a sense of thankfulness and appreciation which robs people of actually a sense of joy in being able to serve one another. Ingratitude, when you look at it and its root meaning and everything that it comes and sows into your character and pours out, is so destructive, then you understand why God is pouring out his wrath, his righteous anger against it. Because when you hold on to something and you hold the power, you hold all the cards, you're looking to actually increase your own worth rather than give worth to others. And to the things that have been spoken over you, to the things that have been given to you. Ingratitude breeds pride. It breeds self-glory. It robs everything around us. And that's why when we think about the need to be thankful, to be as a mark of a spirit-filled community, it's not just like, we need to give thanks. Yeah, I know, look upwards and all those things. No, connected to it is a real big problem if we don't. And that's why the Bible has a constant recurring theme. That whenever you go into it, it sits there and it says, listen, be thankful in everything. Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians 18, be thankful in all circumstances. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love is good and it endures forever. Constantly in the Bible, we are called to be made and be thankful people. And harvest is a great time to do that, isn't it? To recognize where our food comes from, to recognize those who provide our food, whether they cook it for us or whether it comes in a supermarket lorry, whether it's the friends around us, whether it's the people in our family, in our lives, those who influence us in a way that we can sit there and appreciate the value that they're giving, that for us it's a time to stop and say thankful, be thankful, to say thank you, to stir up gratitude within us, to push away ingratitude. But it's an everyday, moment-by-moment occurrence. It's an attitude of something within our character that we should express all the time. And does that mean that we should just, you know, live a boring life? Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, no. But yes. Yes, we appreciate what people do, but we're not just going around saying thank you all the time. We express it in different ways, don't we? Whether it's responding in a gift, whether it's saying thank you, whether it's writing a card. But Paul stirs it even further and he says, listen, expression of thanks comes also through singing, comes through a heart attitude that overflows out of our mouths, that actually as a community of Christian believers, we praise and worship to stir up thanksgiving, a deep sense of gratitude that works in our innermost being. And that's why at the beginning, when he talks about what it means to be a spirit-filled community, he's talking about expressing ourselves using the Psalms. Aren't the Psalms beautiful in their expression? He's saying to the Christian community, use these words that stir up thanksgiving and a sense of appreciation of who God is, of where we are in this world as we look out. Use the language to speak to our hearts and our very souls. Here's just a couple of the Psalms to move in with us. Amy, I don't know if you can answer what's there. Thank you. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being, all my depths, my soul, my spirit, my mind. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits. Truly my soul finds rest in God, my salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Powerful worship and a powerful sense of expression is not just about singing. In fact, Paul almost begins to lean into this. Although people aren't 100% sure about what he means by spiritual songs and songs from the heart, I think if you practice it, you get a good idea of what he's talking about. Because sometimes in my devotional life, or if I'm in a time of worship, it's not just about singing the songs, it's also about making a melody in my own heart. Do you do that yourself in your own devotions? That just sometimes allow that stirring in your heart just to sing a tune, to hum a tune, just to stand there and know that your mind is focusing on the Lord, but perhaps you just close your eyes and just a gentle tune comes out. Something of an expression of the heart just bubbles over. For some people, they use that and it goes into speaking in tongues, but for others, it's just connecting your innermost being. That's what the psalmist says. How do you do that? You know, praise my soul, my innermost being. How do you praise with your innermost being? One of the best ways is through song, through making a noise that comes deep from within here, that connects everything together and flows out the mouth upwards to the Lord. But he's speaking here, not in an individual sense, but as a corporate gathering. That together, that when we sing songs from the heart, when we sing in worship, when we express that real deep sense of gratitude that what God has done for me, and it comes through our whole being, it inspires each other. That sense of worship inspires others around us. And maybe you're thinking, well, the tune that's coming out of my mouth isn't Handel's Messiah, but it's still beautiful. It's still your expression. It's still something that God has laid deep within you that is, you're made to sing, you're made to worship, you're made to express that deep sense of gratitude. It doesn't matter whether the band's playing or not. Paul is saying, as part of a spirit-filled community, a spirit-filled person, we have this inspiration stirring within us that comes out, this hope working in our hearts that moves it through. And I wonder, do you think in your worship times, are you an inspiration this morning? Are you an inspiration to others in your worship this morning? Because what if you're not an inspiration? How do you know if you're not someone who is inspired with that deep flow of the Spirit that comes around you? How do you know that actually, what are the characteristics that I need to be aware of if I'm moving in a different direction? Because actually, you know, really, if you press it far enough and you think about it, when your heart becomes and leans more towards ingratitude, it becomes ungrateful. And do you know how you know that? It's because you look at the negative first. You develop an attitude that seeks disappointment over above encouragement. I remember when I went to watch Saving Private Ryan. It's one of my favorite films. And the first time I saw it, it's a long film. It's a war film, World War II, beach landing on D-Day. And it was epic. And I was like, wow, what an amazing, you know, just thinking about it. I came out with my friends and I was like, that was one of the best war films ever. My friend Pete was like, yeah, it was all right. Didn't really like that character. You know, it just kind of like annoyed me. You see, if you don't have a heart of gratitude, you can be so pessimistic sometimes. You can be so negative in the outlook that you suck the life out of other people. As an example, isn't it? When you come out and maybe you've been to church and it's like, yeah, the worship was okay. Dave went on for 5 minutes too long. Yeah, you know, it's okay. I might come next week. But a heart that is full of gratitude looks at the positives first. It's not that there's not negative things in there, but it's a source of encouragement that seeks to lift others and inspire others around you. That sits there and says, yeah, I met with God. Okay, it may not have been perfect, but wasn't it great that the Lord was here? Wasn't it great that I can meet in the family of other believers? Wasn't it good that we can be encouraged this morning and know that God is for us, not against us? Isn't it good that we know the faithfulness and the provision of God in our lives? If you want that expression this morning of praise and thanksgiving and a deep sense of gratitude flowing through us, then the place we root it first is in Christ. When we look up and we see what God has done for us in Christ in taking our sin and our shame, when we see the wonder of the gospel again permeating our hearts, knowing again and again that this is what Christ has done for me, knowing that I can be in relationship, knowing that I can be close with one another, knowing that I can have a hope in my heart that nothing can take away, then what happens is what Paul talks about is that when you open up that avenue of gratitude and you see Christ and you know that the Holy Spirit is pouring into your hearts, you know that hope is in here, hope begins to speak to your spirit. It's what Paul talks about in Romans 8. The Spirit testifies with your spirit. You know your adoption. It sings inside of you. You're stirred up with hope again. And when hope is stirred, you begin to see, like Sam, the good things in the world, that even amongst all the gloom, there are still pockets, lights. You know, I'm not saying everything's all fairies and rainbows. But sometimes we just need those rays of light, whether it's just that single thing that comes through the curtain that just puts things into perspective, that I know in my heart that, yes, it's tough, but there is a ray of light coming. And that's what hope the Spirit does when it meets with our spirit, when it stirs up with the gospel, it knits into our character. The fruits of the Spirit begin to manifest themselves. And rather than being deeply negative and pessimistic and looking for the bad things constantly in life, we just see the fruits of the Spirit manifesting themselves in joy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness. We become people through a spirit of gratitude when we're constantly being filled with the spirit of hope, influencing our marriages, our workplaces, our parenting styles, our friendships. That's what Paul was shaping and saying as a Spirit-filled community, always giving thanks, expressing ourselves in song, flowing in the power of the Spirit. This is what it means. This is what it means. We're going to have an opportunity to respond with a couple of songs. But it's also an opportunity, even as we sing, to sit there and say, Lord, fill my heart. Lord, help me be thankful. To push against ingratitude and say, Lord, help me see the things that I need to see. Change my character, change my perspective. Help me to see you. I'm going to pray, and the band are going to come up, and then we're going to sing together. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much that we're not oppressed and left in a place of ingratitude. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness that we see in Christ that rescues our hearts, our innermost being. Would you open up the avenues in our hearts this morning? Lord, forgive us where we've been negative. Forgive us where we've been despondent. Sow again in our spirits that hope that speaks to our hearts, that stirs again. Holy Spirit, come and pour yourself deep in, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.